Tom Stopka, research scientist with the California State Office of AIDS. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Richard Garfine from the University of California at San Diego, and Alessandra Ross, our IDU program specialist with the California State Office of AIDS. This is a relatively straightforward and simple evaluation study of ongoing pharmacy access of syringes, over-the-counter syringes in California. By way of background, injection drug use is the second leading risk category for HIV/AIDS in California. Approximately one-fifth of cumulative AIDS cases are attributed to injection drug use. In excess of 1,500 incident HIV and 5,000 incident HCV cases are attributed to injection drug use annually. HIV infection rates among IDUs were twice as high in cities that required prescriptions for syringe purchase as compared to cities that did not have pharmacy access, and additional research has showed increased use of pharmacies as a syringe source is associated with a decline in syringe sharing. This is just a few pieces of literature that we've shared over the past 5 years with higher-ups in the California Department of Public Health and with the governor's office. Of course, good science does not always translate to good public health policy, but we've had some success in the past 5 years with enhanced syringe access, sharing some of the research of you and other peers in the field. So Senate Bill 1159 was signed by Governor Schwarzenegger in 2005. It permits the development of a disease prevention demonstration project in local health jurisdictions. So if I refer to DPDP, that's the disease prevention demonstration project. It allows individuals to purchase up to 10 over-the-counter syringes, that's without a doctor's prescription, decriminalizes possession of 10 or fewer syringes obtained from an authorized source, another important component of the law. It's a dual opt-in requirement, which makes it unique, not necessarily better, but unique. First, the local health jurisdiction has to opt in, meaning either the Board of Supervisors on the county level or city council members have to authorize the program. Then, pharmacies have to authorize individually. So two hurdles to jump over rather than one, as in New York and other states. Requires pharmacists to sell or provide sharps containers and information on HIV, HCV, and drug treatment programs. For HIV and HCV, it's counseling and testing programs in the vicinity of the pharmacies. It sunsets in 2010, which initially seemed like a long time, 5 years for the program to be in place, but 2010 is quickly approaching, and so our efforts and evaluation and more rigorous research are quite important. The legislation does mandate that the California Department of Public Health do research on the outcomes of this program and its impact on the public health. Unfortunately, no money came with that mandate, but fortunately we've been able to come up with a little bit here and there. And these types of relatively straightforward and simple evaluative studies are ones that we've been able to do in-house without incurring too much cost. So this survey is one that we developed in coordination with colleagues at UCSD. It is wave two of the LHJ survey. We did the first wave in 2005. You can read more about that in a January article of the Journal of Urban Health. The survey essentially allows us to learn about the status of over-the-counter pharmacy syringe sales across the state. We survey all 61 local health jurisdictions. That includes 58 counties and 3 cities, Berkeley, Pasadena, and Long Beach. Delay is meant to teach us to breathe or something. So the surveys were emailed, and non-responders were followed up through by telephone and email. They're completed by 55 of the 61 LHJs, a slightly lower response rate than our first wave. The respondents were primarily local health officers, HIV/AIDS prevention coordinators, public health nurses, deputy health officers, and health executives. And our primary variables of interest include program characteristics, implementation status, facilitators and inhibitors to implementation, program coverage, confirms his willingness to participate in syringe disposal mechanisms. We found that the formation of local disease prevention demonstration project coalitions took place in about one-fifth of the LHJs that we surveyed. The coalitions are generally formed in LHJs that have either approved a disease prevention demonstration project or in the process of doing so. So these collaborations seem to have been beneficial in bringing a lot of stakeholders to the table to get the process moving and to get it authorized on the local level, although not all have been successful. It includes public health staff, HIV prevention staff, waste management, pharmacists, in some places SEP staff. In Sacramento, the city of Sacramento, for instance, SEP staff were quite helpful in moving this forward in the city of Sacramento when the county would not approve it. Discussions with law enforcement have been taking place in some places as well, which has been helpful in some areas but challenging in others. In 2006, I'm comparing our results from 2006 to 2005. You can see that we had five additional pharmacies approved over-the-counter sales, or five additional local health jurisdictions. Slight decrease in those that are in the process of approving and those who plan to approve. Essentially, I think we're reaching the point where if folks in local health jurisdictions were going to opt in, they've done it by now. We're not likely to see too many more programs opt in. I wanted you to make note of these 25 who have no plans to approve. We'll talk about them a bit more in a moment. These are the pharmacies that have, these are the local health jurisdictions that have opted in so far. Santa Barbara opted in after we completed our survey in August of 2006. And I'll show you what they look like geographically across the state. And what you'll notice in this map, when it appears, is that primarily their county is along the coast. There are a few along the northern part of the Central Valley, but primarily along the coast and heavily along Northern California rather than Southern California. And you'll notice that there are some cities that are highlighted here. City of Los Angeles, West Hollywood, City of Sacramento here in the middle. The cities of Los Angeles and West Hollywood initially authorized pharmacy sale of syringes. Ultimately, the county followed suit, and when the county follows suit, basically that trumps city authorization, and the county is responsible for seeing the program forwarded through the efforts of the public health department. So among those 25 who said they have no plans of ever authorizing pharmacy sale of syringes, these were the key reasons for not approving. 56% mentioned competing priorities, which include funding priorities, staffing priorities, time available or not available to make it happen. 40% mentioned strong law enforcement and community opposition, and about a quarter mentioned no pharmacy interest and syringe disposal challenges. We looked at provision of education of pharmacy syringes. And among the 55 surveyed LHJs, 36 reported that they have provided education to local stakeholders, and of those, they provided 44% provided education and information to pharmacists, 36% to law enforcement, about a third to education to SEP staff, and about a quarter provided education to waste management officials. I'll show you what that looks like compared to what we found in 2005. We see similar proportionate levels of education provided, but we did begin to see, these are very small sample sizes, about 25 in each year, but we did start to see more discussions about with waste management officials and syringe disposal. Syringe disposal has proven to be one of the biggest stumbling blocks in many counties and cities. Folks want to be certain that syringes are going to be disposed of in a safe manner to protect the public, and in some places it's been what has held up pharmacy sales of syringes. We ask about technical assistance received on the LHJ level, and 45% reported that they had received SB 1159 technical assistance during the previous years. 44% mentioned receiving TA from their peers in local LHJs, 16% from our office, and 16% from a website at the Center for Health Improvement with materials developed by our office. There's also a website, syringeaccess.com, which I'll show you the URL for that at the end of the presentation, which has some more detailed information. There were similar number of counties that reported receiving technical assistance in 2006 compared to 2005, but less reported receiving, smaller proportions reported receiving technical assistance from their peers in other local health jurisdictions, from our office, and from the website. Many more were reporting receiving technical assistance from other sources, and it ran the gamut from a local waste management specialist to public health officials. But part of this, I think, could relate to the fact that folks are up and running. The technical assistance is particularly helpful and necessary early on during the approval and authorization process and implementation. So looking at the number of pharmacies that have been registered, this is the second phase of that dual opt-in process. This first column focuses on the number of pharmacies that have been registered. The parentheses shows the number from 2005, from the previous year. So you can see that we had nearly a doubling in the number of pharmacies that have been registered to sell over-the-counter syringes compared to 2005 in California. The percentage were less than one-third of the eligible pharmacies to sell syringes in these counties have opted in thus far. That percentage is down from 2005. It'll probably go down even further. LA County is just about to finally implement pharmacy sale of syringes. It's taken a long time to get it to happen, but a relatively small proportion of the overall eligible pharmacies is opting in to sell. We haven't seen a lot of independent pharmacies opt to sell syringes, different from some other studies in other states where we've done research on pharmacy sales of syringes. So we were interested in learning about the biggest challenges that folks had in implementing their disease prevention demonstration project. Time management comes up regularly, and interestingly, even among the programs that have authorized the disease prevention demonstration project, they report spending less than 10 hours per week on these activities. So staff time, funding for staff, commitment to other public health activities takes away from their time to be able to focus on this initiative. Developing policies and procedures is one of the biggest challenges. That's particularly early on when public health departments have to develop a list of all the pharmacies that opt in and certify that they'll provide HIV, HCV counseling and testing materials as well as drug treatment information for clients that come in to purchase syringes. Enlisting the participation of pharmacists was mentioned by 44% as well as being another challenge. So in terms of conclusions, the California dual opt-in approach has really led to a measured response. Only one quarter of the LHJs in California permit pharmacy sales of syringes at present. It's interesting to note that these 15 local health jurisdictions are also those, by and large, that permit syringe exchange programs to exist. So if they've got a syringe exchange, they've been very likely to also permit pharmacy sale of syringes. There's been a couple of exceptions where this discussion of SB 1159, of pharmacy sale of syringes, actually led to the upstart of syringe exchange programs. And so it has broadened the dialogue on syringe access issues in other parts of the state. 28% of the eligible pharmacies registered to sell. This is up again, 98% from 2005, but still a relatively small proportion of all the pharmacies that are eligible to sell. LHJs reported providing education, most often to pharmacists, law enforcement, SEPs, waste management. Again, the broader discussion has been helpful in some places as it relates to disposal issues and syringe exchange. LHJs reported receiving technical assistance most often from their peers in other LHJs. In terms of future research, Wave 3 of this survey is currently in the field. Our colleague, Dr. Richard Garfine at UCSD, is taking the lead on this wave of the survey, and we should have that completed within the next month or two. The California State Office of AIDS funded a study led by Dr. Ricky Bluthenthal and colleagues from UCSF and UCSD. It includes serial cross-sectional surveys with pharmacists, IDUs, and community members, systematic observation of syringe disposal in the square block that surrounds the pharmacies that are being surveyed, not unlike what was done in Baltimore and New York several years back, and accidental needle stick assessments, probably through secondary data analysis. These are among the five or six mandated issues that we have to look at according to the legislation. There are others that we have to look at as well. And there's obviously still a need for research to better assess outcomes of the pharmacy sales of syringes in California. We're starting to get there. We're going to have more interesting stuff with this study just starting up, but there's still a long way to go. And there's the website if you want to get even more detailed information on pharmacy sales of syringes.